in toto of Hollywood in toto.com. A great, great, great website. If you lean to the right and are tired of having all of this kind of progressive claptrap, you can get the straight poop from Christian at Hollywood in toto every single day. Christian, first of all, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. All the poop is there, I promise.
Lots and lots of poop. Tons of, no, we're just getting no poop. It's poop free. The Oscars were announced on Tuesday, as they are. And there was a couple of movies. I haven't seen most of them, as is my prerogative this time of year, but I am going to try and see a lot of them. I will say, Christian, I love that so many of these are already streaming.
Yeah, it's most, I would say. Which is not always the case, but more recently it's become the case. So that is helpful for sure.
Well, so do we have COVID to thank for this? And do you think it'll ever go back to the way it was before? I'm just going to do that.
You know, it's interesting. The COVID element in here, I really think it's not a factor anymore, but it did change the industry. Just give you a quick example. There's a new horror movie called Megan out there. It's about an evil robot doll. And it's very successful, making big money. You know, horror movies often do. Mm-hmm. I checked yesterday on my home system. It's available via video on demand. So you could see it right now at home, even though it's still pretty darn new and making good money in the theaters. So that window between theaters and the home video model has just shrunk. And well, that I don't think is going to change back.
Does that change the Oscar rule that you have to be in a theater in order to be eligible for an Oscar? Isn't that still a rule?
It is still a rule, but you know, they kind of just drop a movie in briefly, like a week or two. That's enough. If it's going to release between, you know, January 1st and December 31st, you're good. So that's been the way it's been for a couple of years. And that doesn't affect most people, honestly. That's more of a technicality that the studios have to abide by.
So what are your thoughts on this overall group of Oscar nominees? Are there things that you immediately went, yeah, I don't think that's, I'll take Elvis as an example. I don't think that's a best picture film. I just don't. I think that the performance of the lead guy was fantastic. It's a beautiful film, but is it a best picture film? No, I just don't feel like it is.
No, I completely agree. Austin Butler was spectacular in that movie. It's not a great movie. I don't even know if it's a good movie. I've been saying that I walked out of that movie knowing less about Elvis Presley than I did when I walked in, which ain't good. But yet, you know, there's a whole thing with the best picture race now where it used to be five nominees, but then they went from five to up to 10. Mm-hmm. And that means the voters can kind of get cute with it. They can say, we'll give Avatar 2 a little love. We'll show some love for Elvis because people actually went to the movies to see those films. And of course, Top Gun Maverick as well. So it lets some populist movies kind of sneak in. But they're not going to win. So it's a little bit of a trick.
When I saw that Top Gun Maverick was nominated for Best Picture, I was like, oh, they're throwing that in for the normies out here. All of us in middle America who love that movie, that's what that is. They're just throwing us a bone so we can't say, you guys always pick the dumbest movies. You know, handicapping it right now, what do you think? Who's got the best chance? Have you seen, how many of these have you seen, Christian?
You know, I've seen most, not all. You know, I think at this point, it's either Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is a really trippy sci-fi action comedy mashup, but the critics adore it. It was actually kind of a nice indie hit and a great story that it, you know, came from nowhere, made a fair amount of money. Or The Fablemans, which is the Steven Spielberg, what they're calling it, his origin story, how he became a filmmaker, his, you know, his days as a teenager. I think that's the foot race right now. But I don't even think there's extreme kind of momentum between either of those two. So, you know, a dark horse could slip in. I think The Banshees of Inisherin was really good.
Dave Lauer hated that movie. I mean, he hated it. I think he hated it because they put that in the category in the Golden Globes of comedy or musical. Like, he's like, this is not a funny there's no music. It's not funny. I think that offended Dave more than anything else.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the whole comedy musical category in the Globes is super loose. But, you know, Banshees is comic. It's darkly comic. I mean, black hole comedy. And, you know, but it's not Airplane. It's not The Naked Gun. But, I can understand being a little upset by that because it's more of a dark, sober drama with elements that are so absurd. There's a comic sensibility there, but you're not going to laugh out loud a lot, that's for sure.
One thing that you cannot say about the award shows this year is that they lack diversity. I know that part of this is on purpose, right? But are we seeing anyone that's in the running that you're like, I don't know if this is going to be your year, and maybe you're there just so the Oscars can avoid their hashtag Oscars so white again this year?
Well, I think that's what's in play now, because the push for diversity is so extreme, and heaven help us if there's not a category that isn't as diverse as it could be. Having said that, I think the nominees are all pretty good this year, but there have been a few people who said, I didn't get nominated, it's because Hollywood is racist and sexist and blah, blah, blah. Now, her name, forgive me, is escaping me, the person who directed Till, which is about Emmett Till, the poor black mm-hmm. child who was savagely murdered. And, you know, that was in the running. It was in the conversation. It could have made Best Actress. It could have made Best Picture. It didn't get much of anything. And she's crying foul. But, you know, it could be just it got squeezed out. There were too many other really good films. You never really know. But the Oscars have done a job of incorporating more people of color into the voting committee. So that should at least help directly or if not indirectly. So, you know, listen, let's not freak out about a category, a year, a group, a movie that doesn't get nominated, because in every year there are snubs. And there's only select slots, so you can't win them all.
Well, I also feel like now, and perhaps we can say because of all these controversies, we are seeing a lot more movies that are either starring a full ethnically diverse cast or starring an Asian cast. I mean, there does feel like there's a lot more offerings, and not just, and I'm not slighting Tyler Perry, but he does a very specific kind of film. It feels like there is a bigger brush now where you have more opportunity to maybe see someone who is Hispanic or black or Asian in a real starring role. I mean, we see it with Michelle Yeoh and I can never, what is that movie? Everything. What is it? What is the name of the movie?
Everywhere All at Once.
Thank you. And so you get more products that are great films starring different kinds of people. Mm. It stands to reason that you're going to start to see people being recognized and rewarded, don't you think?
Yes, that is the legit benefit of this push, is that I think for years and years that Hollywood has done a terrible job of opening up opportunities to people, every kind of person. And then maybe certain stories are being told and other ones weren't being told. And in recent years, we've had movies like Encanto. You've had stories where, you know, animated films about different cultures. And that makes it richer when these different artists are able to share their personal stories. It's for the better. And so I think you're absolutely right. That's been a good change. But I think when we kind of get hypersensitive, when we kind of say, well, you know, the last two Best Director winners were women, but none were nominated this year, we got to freak out. No, let's not go there. Because like I said, the last 2 years, a woman won. That's good. That's progress. Let's kind of look at the overall sweep of things. And if it's like 3 or 4 years in a row and no women are being honored, that's an issue, you know. But let's everyone kind of calm down. But that's what the media does. They kind of really hyper sensitively look at these categories, trying to find some outrage.
Well, I do think, and though it must suck to be the director of Till, to put so much heart and soul into a movie and then have it not get mm-hmm. anything, ultimately, I would think that directors and actors and all of the people who are going to be recognized want to be known that their win, when they win, is because they were truly the best of the best that year. You know, I mean, I don't devalue the award in the name of checking boxes of making sure that this year a woman won, the next year a gay man won, the next year a Hispanic woman won. I mean, then you're not giving out awards based on merit and they lose their meaning.
Yeah, that's the big problem that's looming here. I don't think we're fully at that moment yet, although I think in 2024, the diversity rules will officially kick in, where if you have a Best Picture nominee, it has to do certain things. And it could be either a very diverse cast and crew, or the story could speak to an underrepresented group. There's a whole litany of things. You have to go kind of Google to find all the details. But that's a problem. That's an issue. Because
that's terrible.
What if I tell a heartfelt story and it doesn't meet those qualifications?
God forbid you should have a story about a straight white couple who are married with two kids and you know, exactly. Yeah, who wants to see that? And don't get me wrong. Like I just said, I think some of the films that are coming out now have been super interesting. They're telling stories that I would have not necessarily had access to. So I'm glad that's happening. But you, if you want to have an award, make it an award for merit and not just so you can virtue signal to the rest of the world about what a good person you are.
Yeah, absolutely right. But we'll have to see how things go. And, you know, one of the things I complain about, and rightly so, is that the award shows themselves are just a bore because they are diverse and woke and aware.
Yeah.
And it's all they talk about. It's all they give in their speeches. And the jokes aren't even funny because they're not really trying to be funny. They're trying to be righteous and pure and go for the clapter. Well, that's not entertainment. That's one of the reasons why the ratings are going south, because who wants to watch that? It's just dull. Yeah. You know, give me Billy Crystal cracking wise and being funny and celebrating movies. That's what it should be all about.
Agreed, 100%. Let me ask you something about a column you have today on HollywoodandToto.com. And it's about the new Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Duhamel movie, which is Shotgun Wedding. And it looks like a rom-com. I got to tell you, I am dying for the renaissance of the rom-com. Like, we're so close, Christian. We're so close because I think people are sick to death of being preached at or being shot at or, you know, having CGI and all of that. Like, the great fun rom-coms, especially of the 80s and 90s, I feel like that window may be opening again. Am I being too optimistic?
I'm optimistic too. I don't know if you saw Ticket to Paradise.
I did. It was cute.
I found it charming and light and breezy, probably forgettable, but I enjoyed it. Also, Amazon Prime has I Want You Back. It came out last year. It was wonderful. It was really good. It had a bit of a gimmicky presence, but I thought it was very solid. And then Shotgun Wedding, you know, it's on Amazon Prime right now. It opens this weekend on the streaming platform. It's not great, but it is likable. It is breezy. There are some laughs. There are some romantic sparks. And that's all you need. You know, the formula is basic. You do it right, you get some appealing, attractive leads, you're halfway there. And the movie's got some real problems. The tone is a bit off and some of the scenes are just cringeworthy, but some of them work and it's fun and it's light. So I agree. I think maybe Hollywood is realizing the error of its ways and kind of going back to basics, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, you got to think about it like this. Essentially, we have two television networks that were founded on the foundation of the rom-com, Hallmark and Lifetime, right? I mean, they're their whole shtick on those networks. So there's obviously a market for it. And everything is just so serious. It's so, so serious. It's either over the top, slapstick, rude humor, which, by the way, I enjoy immensely. I'm not looking down on that kind of bridesmaids type humor, but nobody's doing smart, funny comedy. Nobody's doing city slickers. Nobody's doing those kind of movies that when I'm flipping through the dial, I'm stopping on Four Weddings every time. You know what I mean? It's like, give me that. I've watched those kind of movies a million times and I want them to come back. I don't see a lot of young actresses moving in that sphere. Like, we had the queens of the rom-com in Julia Roberts and Meg Ryan and, you know, Sandra Bullock. I mean, they were just the queens. I'd love to see this come back. So you talk to your people in Hollywood and let them know that I'm ready.
I'll get right on that, I promise.
You can find Christian's writing every single day at HollywoodInToto.com. Christian, keep up the good work. And I'm going to try and see these Oscar movies, and then we'll come back. And right before the Oscars, maybe we'll rate their chances of winning. Maybe we'll handicap the races from our perspective. All right, man. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christian. That's Christian Toto.